If it had a book it could read, if it could read, it's the Medicare for the Lazy Man podcast. The Medicare podcast that sleeps late every morning. He won't go to work until after the View, Medicare expert Doug Jones.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to another exciting episode of the Medicare for the Lazy Man podcast. As my Canadian nephew, Drew McMillan, might have told you, I am Doug Jones, your Medicare expert for the time being, and I am here to help you feel really, really confident about your possible encounter with Medicare. I'm guessing that you wouldn't be paying any attention to this podcast if you didn't have an encounter coming up, so let's assume that you do. And let's assume that you want some Medicare knowledge, but knowledge that's easy to acquire. And let's assume also that you have decided to do a little recreational reading. Well, we can put those two things together and we can come up with an answer for you. And that answer is going to be the Medicare for the Lazy Man book, which is the simplest and easiest guide ever. I would say to you that this is the way that you should prepare for Medicare. And my suggestion would be to go to Amazon.com or BarnesandNobles.com and purchase a copy of my book, Medicare for the Lazy Man 2024. That's right. I said 2024. That edition is out on the newsstands, out on the Amazon shelves and the Barnes and Noble shelves as we speak. And it's been a long time coming. I am nothing if not excited to have that new edition. It's 2.5 months later than I expected to. I'm hoping not to make that mistake again, but Medicare for the Lazy Man 2024 is now ready for your perusal. Oh boy, here's one of my neighbors coming over to cause me difficulty. I don't know why he does this sort of thing, but I'm going to turn my silencer on. Yes, my neighbor had to interrupt the podcast to invite me out for drinks tonight. And so how could I turn down that invitation?
Well, that's important, Doug.
It is. And so I'm glad he disturbed me. I mean, he walked by my window seeing that I'm in the middle of this important labor of love that we do every couple of days. And I'm glad I went and answered the door because the invitation was personally delivered. And I'm pretty happy to participate in that. So
nobody ever comes to my door inviting me out to drinks.
I did once, but I actually invited you out to your own driveway and you supplied the drinks.
We need to do that again.
I agree. As soon as it warms up just a little bit more. Ooh, boy, drinking hot tea right now. But that'll be replaced later on. So I was in the middle of excitedly sneaking in the knowledge of our new book being sitting on the shelves at Amazon waiting for people to purchase it. And of course, my neighbor wrecked that whole thing, but that's okay. The 2024 edition of Medicare for the Lazy Man is out there, and it will be in all of its forms at Amazon as soon as I can record the Audible book. But right now we've got the paperback book. I had to jack the price up a little bit because Amazon increased their costs, their manufacturing costs, which of course they pass along to me, and I feel compelled to pass them along to you, the end reader. So the paperback book is going to be $9. The Kindle version is going to be $4.80, and the hardcover version, $24. But people who buy a hardcover book nowadays are buying that book to normally to either add to their library of classics or to give as a gift, a heartfelt gift to a loved one. So either way, I don't think $24 is too much to ask for an artfully constructed hardcover book containing all of the essential knowledge that anybody researching Medicare would want to have. So welcome to the world of 2024. And I just wanted to say that one of the first people that I heard from was a gentleman who went to our website and used the chat feature. And he said, when is the 2024 book coming out? And so I kept that chat that he sent us. And yesterday I responded to him and I said, the 2024 book is now on the shelves. And he replied back and he said, awesome. I just purchased it from Amazon. And I told him, I said, you're reader number one. And he said, that's fantastic. And I said, don't tell anybody the ending. Don't spoil it for future readers. So he said, I won't. Anyway, it's just an exciting, thrill-packed, wonderful day, a red-letter day in my book. I got an email from another of our clients who just said he purchased the book. He's pretty excited about it, but more about that later. I do want to say happy birthday to my cousin. I've got a cousin who is, I believe, 15 years old today. He was born on February 29th, leap year, in 1960, I believe. And so he has not had that many birthdays, but when he does, it's, you know, four times the celebration that normal people have. So today is February 29th, 2024, my cousin's birthday, and we don't see each other very often, but just wanted him to know that I am thinking about him. So I'm going to now introduce formally the gentleman who makes this podcast possible. He makes it into something almost professional and certainly entertaining, things that I could never do on my own. His name is Randy Carson. He's well known in the podcast world, low profile in the Medicare world. But anyway, I'm happy to have him on my team. Randy, good morning to you, sir.
Well, good morning to you, Doug, and congratulations that Medicare for the Lazy Man 2024 is now on the show. I'm so damn happy for you.
Boy, that's a big load off of my mind. And then, of course, what happens is I see that all the books are published on Amazon, and they send me emails confirming all of that and everything. And then my editor sends me an email saying, uh-oh, I discovered a problem with the covers. Here are three new covers. Put them on the book. So I spent most of yesterday evening, instead of enjoying mindless television entertainment, replacing the covers on Amazon. And then, of course, Amazon says, well, we're going to have to reconsider the publishing of this book. And then this morning I found emails confirming that everything is okay with Amazon. So we always have glitches, it seems, on these technical projects. But I believe that we are now thoroughly plugged into the 2024 Medicare advisory position. So I don't think anything else is going to happen to these books. I do have to record the Audible book, and there are going to be some changes. So I'm going to have some work to do. All I hope is that we don't have helicopters flying overhead and noisy neighbors like I've had in the past. So what's new with you, Randy? Anything interesting?
Well, first of all, I congratulated you on the publication of your new
book. Yes, you did. If you want to repeat that.
I was going to say, congratulations, Doug. 2024. Thank you. Now, how many episodes? Okay, 2019 is the first one, right?
Actually, 2018, one before I met you. Seriously, the first book I wrote was like a lame effort, and it sold one copy on Amazon.
Oh, okay. And then I went to Ireland.
Yes, you did. And that's why I wrote the book.
Because you and I got busy.
You and I were going to put up a website, and we were going to then become millionaires, multimillionaires in the Medicare world. And so, of course, you said, all right, we'll sign this contract, this ironclad contract that you'll never be able to weasel out of. Sign it on every page, initial the places that you don't sign. And when I did that, you took it under your arm and you said, oh, I may have forgotten to tell you, we're going to be gone for a month, so nothing's going to happen. And that was
we're going to be in Ireland. Where are you going to be?
Yeah. After a couple of days of twiddling my thumbs, I thought, well, you know, I've always had it in the back of my head to write a book. Maybe this is the time to do it.
I have to admit that I feel somewhat responsible for you writing the book because I took off on you.
I'd still be angry about it if the book hadn't turned out to be such a success and basically the crux of our efforts together, because it puts the word out to people who otherwise would not know that we're here. And we are doing, I think we're doing God's work, and I'm going to tell you why in a minute, but It's been a vehicle. This creation of this book was an accidental event, but it's a vehicle for getting the word out to people who might not otherwise know about us.
I totally agree. So anyway, as the nominal producer,
get to work is what you're saying. I can hear it coming right now.
I'm going to forge us ahead into the actual Medicare stuff.
All righty. Well, let me at least mention that I've had some correspondence with a couple of our valued clients, one of whom is our buddy Steve in Texas. And this morning he sent me a lengthy list of entries that people on Reddit were talking about. They were talking about Medicare and what they do. And some idiot from Canada was going, our health insurance is free and we get 80% off drugs. And, you know, we're superior to the United States people. And of course, nobody stood up and told him what a moron he was because he pays the penalty in other ways. I know that because my sister and her family live in Canada, but that's a story for another time. Steve said, I gave you a plug on Reddit, and he put my URL, the MedicareForTheLazyMan.com website, in the conversation that people were having about what they're doing for Medicare. And he said, Medicare High Deductible Plan G is the most cost-effective plan. And then he put our website in there as part of his contribution to that conversation. And he said they might remove my response because I used a URL in it. So I guess we'll have to see about that. But I want to say big kudos to Steve for doing that. Good for you. I know for a fact that is damn good advice, and I know it because of correspondence I have with another client. Actually, this gentleman is a little bit too youthful to actually be a client yet, but he's headed that direction. His name is Dean, and he lives in Florida, and he and I got acquainted not too long ago. He purchased the 2023 version of Medicare for the Lazy Man. He's a guy who likes to prepare ahead of time. So he did some research. Then he contacted me and asked me a few pithy questions. We had some conversation. And frankly, I think he's grown comfortable with the fact that I am offering advice that I believe is the best advice available. It's not motivated by the size of the commission dollars that I earn from making each sale, but it's motivated by my interest in my client's welfare. And the fact that I don't like angry clients calling me up and yelling at me because I sold them something that isn't what it should be. So here is what Dean said this morning. He said, when he sends me an email, he always reminds me who he is because he knows I've got a bunch of clients and it's entirely possible I would get confused. My wife also knows that I get confused, but that's another story. So he says, last week, I asked what you needed from me, and you sent me application forms. He said, that helped because my application is now completely filled out and ready to send to you, but I have to enroll in Medicare in a couple of months. So after I get my Medicare numbers, I will then complete the application, send them back to you. Here's a story that's happening to me right now. At the end of last year, our company group health insurance agent gave my contact info to his Florida associate who handles Medicare. Today, I'm receiving somewhat high-pressure pitches from the guise of texts from this agent, this Medicare agent, describing cost versus benefit. First, he wanted to make an appointment with me to discuss my plan options. Up front, I texted him that I've done my research, landed on high deductible plan G as being the best option for me. Thanks to you, Doug. First, he said, that is a supplement. His company only deals in Medicare Advantage plans. Next, he continued, or he discussed costs. He wanted to sell him a Blue Cross Blue Shield HMO, and he said over a 15 to 20 year period, his product might perform better than what I have suggested, the high deductible plan G Medicare supplement. At one point, he said, you must not go to the doctor very much. I texted him that was correct, and also that I'm affluent enough to pay for any deductibles out of pocket as they occur. One text even said that he's driving, and his text was through my Titan, I guess his Nissan. So he said, I didn't send you all the texts that he sent me today, just attached three so that you could get an idea of what he's talking about. I'm sure happy I read Medicare for the Lazy Man a month ago. It provided me with good knowledge foundation to have confidence to tell solicitors I already did my research and my choice is high deductible plan G. So this is a kind of a heartwarming lesson. He said, Doug, I only have one question. Medicare supplement plan G, high deductible plan G, is it easy to change when needed or when you want to? Is that correct? And the other part of his question was any physical needed to make that change? And of course, I had a response for him. And I said, where did I put my response? My response is, in answer to your question, I said, thanks for the excellent content, Dean. That's podcast content. I said, I only hope I can do it justice. I said, in answer to your question, there currently is no guaranteed right to change from one supplement plan to another in your state of Florida. So I caution my clients that this is a decision that, depending on their state of health, could be one that they will live with forever. Because if they're not healthy or if they lose their current state of health, they might have fewer options to change to a different plan. However, here are a few related details. Detail number one, at the second policy anniversary, the plan I quoted as being best for you from United American, that allows the policyholder to change to full-blown Plan G at the second policy anniversary without any underwriting at all. That's a contractual right that they build in to their high deductible Plan G. Item number two, no one is ever asked to have a physical exam. When evidence of insurability is required, it is in the form of a health history questionnaire. And item number three, there is a growing trend in America called the birthday rule that has been passed in about seven states and is pending in four more states. I think it's four. It might be five. Not yet in Florida that I've heard, but, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if it happens sooner or later. The birthday rule creates a temporary special enrollment period during which the insured may change to a different company or a different plan, usually to the same or lower benefits. Each seems to have different rules, but it does represent a trend toward liberalizing the rules, binding one to the plan that they originally bought. So it's probably going to be something that spreads across the country. And like I said, every state has a slightly different version, but it will represent a liberalization. And then he said, thank you for your reply. Based on your podcast yesterday, and this is one we recorded a while back, you mentioned new material in the Medicare for the Lazy Man 2024 regarding Plan D. Even though I have the 2023 book, I've just ordered the 2024 version. On the podcast, you said there's new material or information, and I will check it out. Yeah, what I did in the new book, the 2024 book, was I spent a lot more time and space on the steps one might take to select their own best drug plan, their Part D prescription drug plan, because so many people seem to be taking tons and tons of medication, and so many people have grown interested in picking out the best drug plan for them. I try over and over again to make it easy for people to do that. And so in this latest book, I've spent more time and more space on making that an easy process. Now, only you can tell me whether I've succeeded in making it easy and reliable. I'm hoping that I have, but it may be that somebody will tell me I've had a flaw in my process. If that's the case, then of course I'm going to try to fix it, because my goal is to make sure that everybody has access to the proper search method to scientifically select the best Medicare Part D plan, a drug plan, for them, because I don't want to be involved in it. First of all, I'm not a pharmacist. Secondly, I'm not sure I want to give that kind of advice without having a scientific method. And thirdly, if I'm going to use a scientific search method, there's no reason why you can't duplicate my efforts. And fourthly, a lot of these plans have stopped paying commission. So while I feel altruistic towards my clients, I might as well encourage them to do some of the research on their own if they're so inclined. I'm still going to do it for people that have difficulty or that need assistance. I'm not going to turn anybody down as long as I have the time and the resources to do that. So my friend Dean, by the way, before I put away his correspondence, he did send me copies of three of the texts that his agent, his Medicare, theoretical Medicare agent, sent to him. And one of them is very blatant. The first, it starts off by saying, you don't want a high deductible plan G. That's a deductible or a supplement, a Medicare supplement. He said, you have to pay the first $2,800 of medical on the high deductible plan G. Steve, I know, and Randy knows, and our buddy Steve in Texas knows, and all other clients that have high deductible plan G know this, and Dean, the recipient of this text, knows this. That is a bunch of hooey. You do not have to pay the first $2,800 of medical expenses if you have high deductible plan G. Your deductible is going to be the same as it is for everybody else in Medicare this year. That's $450, I think. $440 maybe. Anyway, once you've gotten that, then Medicare is going to pay 80%, and your portion of this is going to be 20%. It is a complete either fabrication or a complete error to say that somebody with high deductible plan G, the very nicely priced plan, is going to have to pay the first $2,800 of medical expenses. That is just not true. So thank you, Dean, for sending me that correspondence that you enjoyed with your your wannabe, your hopeful Medicare agent. So what else do we have today? We're running out of time rapidly, but here is a piece of correspondence from a woman who has high deductible plan G. She is a Floridian, and she asked me for some advice. She said, I have been referring people to you. However, now I'm a little concerned. Last year, United American was paying my doctor visit balances, and this year, I'm getting bills over $100 just for office visits that used to cost me $20 or less. I am going to have to find something else if this company is not paying anything. What is going on? Did they change their rules, or am I not understanding the program? I really don't want to go on Medicare Advantage, but this is ridiculous. Medicare is costing me more than I expected. Any help would be appreciated. Well, I realize that any number of things could have gone wrong that caused her to be confused. One of which is that these charges, as I say in my response, these charges may have occurred in January, meaning that she is in her annual Part B deductible period. And the whole idea there is that you got a small deductible, a couple of $100, $240, and that will pass if she continues to have doctor's visits. So I said, hello, Marcy. I'm guessing these are charges for visits that occurred after January 1st, 2024. At the beginning of each year, we must pay an annual Part B deductible before Medicare starts paying for any treatment. This year, that deductible is $240. I might have misspoken a few minutes ago. Anyway, if you have Medicare-eligible expenses below that level, you will have to pay them in full. When your expenses exceed $240, Medicare will begin to pay their share, and that's 80% of all the eligible expenses. If you have lots of expenses, eventually your United American Medicare supplement will step in to pay the balance. So she then wrote to me. I thought I had solved the problem for her. She then wrote to me and said, I got a bill from last August after I had met my deductible. I was at the dermatologist. I will call them tomorrow. Thanks. And then I said, I suggest asking the doctor's office to confirm that they submitted the bill to Medicare and either receive payment from them or are aware that you don't owe anything until they receive payment from Medicare. I said, please let me know how it turns out. So I'm hoping to get this solved. It is not a problem that is going to be mysterious or impossible to solve. It could be a clerical error. I've had that happen in my life where I've had to call my doctor and say, have you sent that bill to both Medicare and to the Medicare supplement? And I've heard on the other end of the line, oops. So this is certainly a possibility that Marcy's providers, her dermatologist staff, have not properly handled her charges, but I know that this is a completely solvable problem. And the same is true with anybody with Medicare and a supplement. It's always good to look over your office, your doctor's office staff's shoulders to make sure that your bills are being handled properly. And switching gears, here's an article that I think maybe was slipped in here by the content curator, because she is a big one for vitamins. And the question is, could a daily vitamin improve memory? Let's take a guess as to what the answer is going to be. I bet the curator grabbed this article and stuck it in my pile of stuff, because the answer is yes, a daily vitamin could improve memory. Many people take a daily multivitamin to supplement their diet and promote optimal health. But what does the research say? According to one recent study, multivitamins might help improve memory. Researchers at Columbia University, Brigham and Women's Hospital, and Harvard T.H. Chan School of Public Health led a study that analyzed data from 3,562 people over age 60 who were part of the larger COCO Supplement and Multivitamin Outcomes Study. COSMOS was the name of that study. COCO, let's see, where is it again? COCO Supplement and Multivitamin Outcomes Study. The acronym is COSMOS. And I'm proud to say I participated in that study for several years because I fit certain parameters. They wanted to find out if dosages of COCO and certain multivitamins would reduce the incidence of cancer, some other stuff, and onset of dementia. And during the time that I was covered under that plan, I can say that I didn't have any of that stuff. And then, of course, you might respond, well, how do you know you didn't have dementia, you idiot? And I can say, well, I've been told that I don't have it yet. So anyway, this article goes on to say that participants were randomly assigned to take either a multivitamin supplement or a placebo pill every day for 3 years. Every year, they also took a series of online memory tests that specifically targeted the hippocampus, a part of the brain affected by the normal aging process. The researchers found that people who took a daily multivitamin performed better on memory tests over the course of the study than those who took a placebo pill. And this effect was even more significant in people who had cardiovascular disease. These findings confirm those from an earlier report from COSMOS, that study I referred to. They suggest that multivitamin supplementation holds promise as a safe, accessible, and affordable approach to protecting cognitive health in older adults. So if you're with the content curator, then I say take that to the bank and start taking some multivitamins. I can't tell you what multivitamin to take, but I'd like to think that you can probably choose your own. And of course, what do I find right below that in the stack of stuff? Headline, noticing memory problems? Here's what to do next. And it starts out with a word I dearly hate to say. It's seniors. So the article says many seniors worry about memory lapses as they get older, fearing it may be the first signs of Alzheimer's disease or some other type of dementia. To gain some insight into the onset of memory problems, here are some key warning signs to be vigilant of and some resources you can turn to for help. So let's start with Alzheimer's warning signs. As we grow older, some memory difficulties, such as trouble remembering the names of people or places or forgetting where you put your glasses or car keys, are associated with normal aging. Would this also include forgetting what this year's Part B deductible is? Maybe so. But the symptoms of Alzheimer's disease are much more than simple memory lapses. Knowing the early warning signs is a good first step in recognizing the difference between typical age-related memory loss and a more serious problem. To help you evaluate your loved one's condition, here is a checklist of some common early symptoms to watch for. Number one, asking the same questions repeatedly. Number two, getting lost in familiar areas. Number three, failing to recognize familiar people. Number four, having difficulty following directions. Number five, misplaces items in inappropriate places. For example, putting her keys in the microwave. putting her keys. They're actually zeroing in on somebody, and the content curator happens to be a her. So I'm going to have to watch out for that. Also, having difficulty completing familiar tasks like cooking a meal or paying a bill. Another one is having trouble remembering common words when speaking or mixing up words. So for more information, see the Alzheimer's Association list of 10 early signs and symptoms. And the URL for that is 1010signs.org. Another good tool to help you evaluate your mom. Oh, this must be an answer to a question. I didn't get the question. I only got the answer, and apparently somebody wrote somebody and asked about their mother. So another good tool to help you evaluate your mom is the self-administered gerocognitive exam, SAGE test. That was developed at Ohio State University, and this free test helps identify mild cognitive impairment and early dementia, and it can be taken at home in about 10 to 15 minutes. The SAGE test can be taken online. Now, remember, the test name is SAGE, S-A-G-E, and it can be taken online at braintest.com. Get memory help. If you would rather have a professional assist you in evaluating your loved one, the Alzheimer's Foundation of America, that URL is alzfdn.org. That's another good resource you can turn to. Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, they provide free confidential virtual memory screenings done via video chat in real time. Your mother will need a phone, a tablet, or a computer with a webcam and internet capability in order to complete the screening. So that's pretty interesting. You can have somebody diagnosed without ever having to leave the house. The screenings are given by healthcare professionals and take about 10 to 15 minutes to complete. Once the screening is complete, the screener will review the results with you and let you know if your loved one should see a doctor for further evaluation. To set up a memory screening, call 866-232-8484 and make an appointment. If you find that your loved one does need further evaluation, make an appointment with their primary care doctor for a cognitive checkup and medical examination. Depending on what's found, they may be referred to a geriatrician, or a neurologist who specializes in diagnosing and treating memory loss or Alzheimer's disease. This is why I do not have a primary care doctor, because I'm afraid somebody's going to tell that doctor to refer me to a specialist and have me diagnosed and then put away in an old folks home. I can't have that. So next, let's see, keep in mind that even if your loved one is experiencing some memory problems, it doesn't necessarily mean that they have early stage Alzheimer's. Many memory problems are brought on by other factors like stress, depression, thyroid disease, side effects of medications, sleep disorders, vitamin deficiencies, and other medical conditions. And by treating these conditions, the problem can be reduced or even eliminated. So that part's kind of good. You can maybe look for a different problem and solve that problem. And the final thing I have today, more Alzheimer's, at least two more. I would say that the content curator has a fixation on Alzheimer's. I'm inclined to think that we ought to just call it quits for today, Randy. This seems too depressing. Would you take us on out of here, please?
Oh, I am so depressed, Doug.
Yeah. Well, you'll forget about it shortly if you have.
What were we talking about, Doug? Mm-hmm. Oh, I remembered I had to go get my cell phone out of the microwave. I was charging it.
Well, oh boy, if I ever see that happening around our house, I'm going to run for the hills, I'll tell you.
Okay, well, we need to go ahead and close up shop. I've got a few things that we need to do always before we close up, because I think it's worthwhile reminding people. If you want to reach out to Doug, get your pencil. You can do that using an email address of dbj@mlmmailbag.com. Don't forget, Doug is licensed nationwide to help you with your Medicare supplement planning. Check us out at the website, medicareforthelazyman.com. We would appreciate it if you could find a place to give us a couple reviews, especially now that the new book, the 2024 version, is out. I would like to think that you guys are going to be all over that with some good reviews, because I haven't read it yet. I need to talk Doug into sending me a copy. And sometimes that takes a while, but I'm going to start working on it.
It's never failed to work. You're always very persuasive.
But last but not least, thank you for joining us. You could have been a number of different places, and you weren't. You were here with us exactly where we want you. And I am going to say you have spent, you may not know it, about 32 and a half minutes with Doug Jones, the anti-insurance guy from Oklahoma. No more. He's living in the high ground behind Cave Creek, Arizona, in his fortress of solitude today at about 5,200 feet.
It's been worse, ladies and gentlemen, and today is a red letter today. If you want a Medicare book, go out and buy Medicare for the Lazy Man 2024. I'll look forward to seeing you at our next episode. Bye-bye.